Blog Talk Radio.
Sonic effects. It's interesting. We can all hear the strength of the signal and whether there's any kind of atmospheric complaints or pressures out there. I connect with you, of course, through Skype. And today you can always hear it when Armstrong's horn is playing, whether it wobbles unnecessarily. Anyway, it's always a joy to have a little piece of Satchmo playing along, and it's always a bigger pleasure to have an audience join us again. Thank you so very much for tuning in. I think the program today is particularly interesting. We're moving through the 224th day of the year. I know. Time goes by. We live in an age where there's a lot of confusion because of the amount of information that is flooding around us and over us. It's curious, isn't it? Absolutely curious that it doesn't seem to necessarily help us to feel better informed. A lot of information out of context is data. It doesn't really have a great deal of meaning. It's like somebody handing you lists of numbers. Once those numbers have a context, we can start to mine it. We can start to develop what it tells us. But until then, we are subject to all manner of traces, algorithms. The artificial intelligence is the thrust, trying to anticipate our needs. Some of it, I think we can admit, is useful. Others, it feels a bit intrusive. And these days, I'm in North America. The population ages. It seems sociologists have told us that we naturally seem to become more fearful, more wary. I think that as we get older, and I think that has as much to do with the fact that your timing isn't the same, and you notice that. Walking up and down a flight of stairs isn't like bounding up and down like you could do when you're 25. So we're a little bit cautious, and maybe it's because, too, that with more experience on this earth, we value things differently and more so than we did when we were perhaps focused more on our own needs when we were younger. Not to say everybody is, but I need to stop and pause with you, the audience here, ladies and gentlemen, just for a moment. Because I'm sitting in a country, in an environment, in a community that's predictable. And not that it doesn't come at a price. There's a struggle. But there's a sense of security from that predictability. It isn't coupled with a sense of permanence. As we know, all things change. And if the rights and values of what's made this nation and your nation what it is today matter, then we will make whatever sacrifices are necessary to reassert those values, whatever they are. the truths that exist in your heart. Are we able to do that without conflict? Well, the conversation, the conversation it breaks down. What we don't know causes anxieties, and we cast aspersions on one another. And it's a test. It's a distinct test for Masonic values. Oh, and we'll talk today about how we spend a great deal of time and energy over the years searching through the history of Masonry. And really, there's a relevance to that. What is it that we're trying to do is, I think, in all fairness, we're trying to understand the nature of Masonry by looking at the history carefully. And that means we have to, like any good historians, we have to, and I mean that with no disrespect to the scholars amongst us, but the amateur historians in us. We have to sift through what's valid and what's conjecture, what is populist and popular opinion may be completely inaccurate. And we've seen history has taught us that a number of times. No, I am true to my my nation. I was influenced and am influenced greatly by Dr. Margaret and her work on history. History can be manipulated. And that's terribly unfortunate that people would do that. But it is like pull on your big boy pants and big girl pants and realize that happens. It can be used. And Dr. Margaret McMillan. It can be used and shaped to serve an agenda that's not necessarily obvious. All of that means we need to read things with a sense of a critique, being able to weigh things out. And at some point, the danger that we have, I think, we have to embrace at some point that there may be some merit behind the claim that we're a danger or a risk. But the risk is when we're not listening to the ideas, we're not holus bolus buying into ideas that are presented to us. Now, that means that there's that risk if we weren't honorable people, if we weren't people that had a sense of integrity, a sense of well-being, and a sense of a deeper understanding of what it takes to be able to sustain a comfortable existence, a safe existence, a productive and rewarding existence in an environment, it takes sacrifice. If we weren't those kind of people, then you could see that this whole the whole perception that there's something malevolent about Masonry comes from that sense of malfeasance that we may be a radical because we're not mainstream. We may be radicalizing members. The qualifier is if we weren't people of integrity, but we are. And we are people that have ensured in our own way, for our own sake, that what we're stepping into isn't done blindly, that it's done in a qualified sense. So we have some interesting things to talk about, and I think you're going to enjoy the commentary today, a view of Masonry in a world of change. We are in fascinating times. We've listened to jazz on the show. I think the music that is generally not so much the compromise, but that flavor that is kind of interesting. It may not be what you grew up with, but as you hear it and it's easy, I think, for people to cultivate a taste. Give it a try. This is from a young woman, Emily Claire Barlow. Her voice is her voice is youthful. You'll hear it. It's not the smoky experienced voice that we often hear. This is like it sounds like flicking your finger against a crystal goblet. It's almost like being in love. It's an old standard, but I think you'll like it.
Maybe the sun gave me the power, but I could swim Loch Lomond and be home in half an hour. Maybe the air gave me the drive, for I'm all aglow and alive. But a day that has been, what a rare mood I'm in. But it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the world you would break. Well, it's almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me.
This part of the world, we're enjoying the Perseids, the meteor showers. It makes me sit back and reconnect with the ancestors. You look up at the sky, it's there for each and every one of us. Look up at the sky and be amazed. The named after Perseus, and I I wondered about who this person was. You know, he is. This is from Greek mythology. And Perseus is the legendary founder of Mycenae and of the Perseid dynasty of the Danaans. He was the son of Zeus and one of Zeus's dalliances with a mortal, Danae. And he's a half-brother and a great-grandfather before the days of Heracles. Yeah, that's his claim to fame. You can check out the Perseids for yourself. These are meteor showers that come with the comet Swift Tuttle. Goat falls in behind that. Anyway, we've stumbled on something quite interesting in masonry, and I want to share a bit of that. We always seem to stumble and lurch forward. Here's a view on masonry that I hope you enjoy. Sit back with a comfortable cup of your favorite beverage or libation, cup of tea, a scotch, and attempt to use Masonic effects as a vehicle to broaden the experience. Lodges can do some things, but if you're inclined to define masonry as the function of lodges and the functions that we do to socialize, then I feel that that we may, or you and I may be missing something quite important and vital. I think masonry, I think, it has a great future ahead because, I say that, because it rides on the crest of imagination. It's imagination that is stimulated when we approach the ideas behind masonry. That is, if you happen to be a serious-minded individual. If you're looking at it as an evening to dress well and go out in polite company, then have at it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, of course. But when we measure that against the historic backdrop, it seems to be an injustice to masonry to think that that's what it's become, and it's certainly far from the case. On any given night, I suggest to you, brothers and sisters, brethren, that masonry today has a lot of characteristics of masonry long ago. Socializing happened, but it happened in a style that was suitable to a few hundred years ago, in your neighborhood as well as in mine. Did people do the same things? Well, of course not. Of course not. They did similar things. It's like if we were travelers going down the road, we might stop at a house that provided food and lodging for us. Was that the same as it is today? Well, the similarity is there. There were places we could rent and a meal that we could buy and a drink. We talk more about that in days gone by than we do today because we have more variety. Is that important? Well, the worry and concern isn't as important, but the outcome of the lifestyle is. Most of our women died very young in those days, very young. In medieval times had a sense of integrity about it, the ideas do, but life was very difficult, and you and I could pass away from an infected tooth, and often did. wounds were a great danger. And so it wasn't that life was cheap. Life was relatively, comparatively short. But at the time, you didn't see it that way. Life was full. And if your wife died when she was 16 or 17, having her fourth or fifth child, it was a sad event. It was loss. However, the widows and widowers can and would reconnect and form mutually supportive relationships as they do today. But in that day, we may have been fortunate to have some tobacco for a smoke, or to have some tea, or to have some whiskey, or to have some beer or wine. Today, you and I have options. And it, that kind of thinking has permeated our lives. We can be, we have to be selective. The marketplace is at our heels in the developed world. And now we're examining some of the fundamental premises. And it's serious. And the change is going on around us, and it is happening at a glacier-like speed. First, there's the change in the attitude. This brings us around to the nature of masonry. I'm going to quote two thinkers, just because I like to be stimulated and inspired, just like everybody else. Here, think like this. I would challenge you to a battle of wits, but I see you are unarmed. I'll tell you who wrote this stuff in a while. The lunatic, the lover, and the poet are of imagination all compact. I am very proud, revengeful, ambitious, with more offenses at my beck than I have thoughts to put them in, imagination to give them shape or time to act them in. And this will be a giveaway, of course. Alas, poor York. I knew him well, Horatio, a fellow of the infinite jest, of most excellent fancy. He hath borne me on his back 1,000 times, and now how abhorred in my imagination it is. My gorge rims at it. Here hung those lips that I have kissed, I know not how oft. Where be your gibes now? Your gambols, your songs, your flashes of merriment that were wont to set the table on a roar. Not one now to mock your own grinning, quite chapfallen. Yeah, William Shakespeare. William Shakespeare. Why? Why would the bard be talking like that? Such tricks have strong imagination that if it would be apprehend some joy, it comprehends some bringer of that joy. Or in the night, imagining some fear, how easy is a bush supposed to bear? Imagination. Oh, well, something moved in the shadows. It must be something perilous. Now think about it. This is what he's asking us to do. He's asking simply, what he said, piece out our imperfections with your thoughts. Imperfections. Well, that bush moved. We don't understand it. It's a loud crack of lightning. It could be something bad. And we could rightly say, oh my goodness, sometime there was a lightning strike at somewhere, so therefore there's a truth in that. Here, imagination is more important than knowledge. For knowledge is limited to all we know and understand. While imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand. Listen carefully. Einstein wasn't saying knowledge isn't important. He's saying that imagination is more. knowledge takes us as far as what we know. Imagination takes us further. So create today, as you're listening and we're engaged, create thought experiments of your own. And think for a moment that we are part of something that addresses that imaginary notion. What if? What if? What if we all understood? What if we all cared about our fellow man? Not our own conceit. I'm working on some ideas around the essential nature. Is it valid to say that people generally are motivated by self-interest? Oh, well, I suppose I can get my back up and argue. But if I don't, just for a moment, if I embrace that, then what's the self-interest of good people, people of integrity, of Masons? Well, we'll just have to see. A little, what in the world? Here we go. This is somebody I think will surprise you when I tell you who it is after. You might already know.
Start to fall.
Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton. Yeah, we all mellow, don't we? We certainly do. Here. A view of masonry in a world of change. No good act goes without punishment. I don't know who passed along that adage, but it came to mind while thinking about the movement of masonry through time. I cannot tell you whether it is drawn or pushed forward, but I know it moves because we can trace the ideas that have formed masonry back to early societies that continue to exist in the imagination. The truth that masonry conceals a malevolent nature. Such a reasonable question must be asked. Was the science behind E equals MC squared without valence, positive or negative? Clearly not. Science has been weaponized. Despite the cautions and fears of chemists and physicists who recognize the potential for harm, mankind succumbed to our Achilles heel. Aggression and fear. By using the Socratic method, masonry has been able to produce compelling answers based on values that drive an ethical worldview. We have not hesitated to ask the question ourselves. Are we up to mischief? Hard as it may seem, would a good man waste his time participating in an order that has mischief at its core? Would a reasonable man exposed to mischief become mischievous himself? Would he be able to conceal that mischievousness? Our membership grows and grows old together. The risk, if there is one, is of being predictable, of being charitable, for not gain. In some ways, the order pits the lower nature of society against itself. In that sphere, nothing is to be trusted at face value. Exploitation being at the heart of our marketplace and politic, though it is not seen in the agora. Someone is, therefore, being fleeced by masonry. If we accept that, this is the obvious and convenient explanation for their secrecy. And that, dear brethren, is an example of false confidence. If one is fearful and anxious, best go with false answers than face the unknown. The response, and I love this, the response given by masonry is not by argument. The answer, the response is by example. And with humility. How odd. It's from 1959. Yes, Steve Brubeck. Thank you. Unbelievable. Paul Desmond on the clarinet, just fantastic. That's Dave Brubeck, take five. This is the soundtrack of the original video from 1959. Oh, it's not that long ago. Don't get your shorts in a wad. We answer to the challenges around us in very remarkable ways. So today, a little bit obscure, it's public airwaves, so I can't, there's things I'd like to say that it would be better said over dinner and drinks with each of you. One of the things I'd like to talk to you about was, or at least give a nod. I always like to give a nod to, as you notice, to things that were somewhat obscure, but that tend to be remarkably definitive, that speak volumes about masonry. And so I'm always thinking that those experiences are around us. In order to know them, we have to be somewhat connected, or if not connected, somewhat aware, self-aware. Yeah. But I want to talk to you about something that happened. I'll just give it a nod here about the creation of the Grand Lodge of Estonia. Okay, nothing wrong with that, I think. The 27th September of 1998, and they had went to the Grand Lodge of Finland to be petitioned the Grand Lodge of Finland to be the Mother Lodge and to carry out the consecration and the installation. And it took place on the 18th of May, 1999. So not that long ago for the likes of me and some of you. So then it went on to Finland had established apparently the first lodge in Estonia after independence from the Soviet Union in 1991. There's a nation that's been... Oh, just, I think, misunderstood the Russia, misunderstood. And it might, for the curious amongst you, trying to sort out some complicated and really interesting history and what it produces, what that nation and that culture produce, music and mathematics and philosophy and, theater. Oh, it's wonderful, the arts. But the point that I'm making here is that Finland had established the first lodge in Estonia after independence. Finland had. But, and here's the obscure little part, Well, there were czars from, ruling over the Russia. There was a lodge constituted in Tallinn on the October 12th, 1773. And it was created by a mother lodge in St. Petersburg. Now, Russia would ban Freemasonry in 1822, principally due to the implacable opposition to her Orthodox Church. Okay. More to know about that, so that begins to make sense. Obviously. A little nod to something that happened and a sense that it's really difficult to stop, to erase thoughts. If we think that, you know, let's say all of that that was going on with our brethren in those days was considered radical, then by example, I think we've disproven the concerns. I hope so. And we will continue to do that by example. We're not benign. We are concerned. And we offer no threat. No threat. And we respond as we learn and understand. We react. And we do, I don't know if it's correct. We try to get it right. We try to do our best. And that incorporates what's happening, knowledge, intimate knowledge of our communities and the communities around us. So we're not imperialists, we're not colonialists. We are of the people and of a time and of imagination. So stretch that out. We have, it's hard if we look at, you know, the notion that masonry, the sun is always over the meridian with respect to the craft. And so what we're talking about is a global presence. So in that respect, it's a 24/7 type of event or experience or phenomena, but that's not jamming information at people. It's not jamming the presence or philosophy at people. This is describing the weather of masonry in a climate of where there's an apparent need. So when you think about that globally, is there any one mind, one book that could adequately describe our history? Well, maybe I haven't found it. My imagination tells me it may be possible. Or we could find profound statements to connect masonry internationally. But as my good friend William mentioned while he was teaching me watercolor, at a certain level of abstraction, information loses meaning. You know, if you water down the color too much, it loses definition, doesn't it? You can water down something until it's pale, and then water that down until it's unrecognizable. You can't decipher it. So at a certain level, we could do that. You know, we could say nice generalities. All people are equal. How do we use that? You know, how do we use that? Well, we need to break that down and define it as we apply it. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to apply it as a guide in our lives. And to strive for it. Is it something that just comes without effort? Well, no. It does require effort. But do you notice that you live in a part of the world where there are people around you that are concerned about their their issues being recognized, or their disturbance, their discomfort being heard or acknowledged. And sometimes we see quite a culture or society wince. And often I see the media distorted a bit, you know, offering immediate answers and responses, not necessarily well thought out, but it sells papers. In fact, I think what many of these folks have in common, us included, is a need for a dialogue. Now, some of us live in old cultures. Some of us have borrowed and imported the thinking of old cultures, because like masonry is one of those vehicles. We've imported the best, the finest, the integrity of older cultures. It's amazing that that aspect of old cultures was and is transferable. And it emboldens us. It makes us bold so that we can say, oh my goodness, there are like-minded people in Russia. There are like-minded people in India. There are like-minded people in China. How do we know that? Well, we know because of our own history and the transferability of integrity, sincerity, authenticity. Now, having a narrative, having a discussion using that kind of language is odd, but so are the rituals that we find fascinating and compelling. They're odd, commonplace, but the information is there for anybody to see, in a sense. Can a poor man exist in a state of integrity? Well, yeah. Can a wealthy man live in a state of despair, of moral decline? Well, yeah. Does the oligarch offer their charitable acts, acknowledging the thousands of people that live in poverty that were exploited? Not necessarily. There's a great many people in North America and in Europe, in the Middle East, that have a hard time grasping this idea of exploitation, that anybody can be exploited. Well, if you remove that notion from your mind, there's a statement about equality. We all opportunity is available to everybody. Not so much. I suggest to you that you delve into the work of this very fascinating, very interesting man, Malcolm Gladwell. Check out some of his books. He talks to us about this notion of access to equality. It's more accessible to some than others. And connections and your birthright do make a difference. Mm-hmm. Now, we can find the outlier that makes the rule, but the outlier doesn't make the rule. The outlier is part of that uncertainty principle. Some people can struggle and some people can do well for themselves, but that's also saying that hard work pays off. Luck comes to those who work very hard to recognize it and find it. Yeah. You pull back then and think about the vehicle for this kind of notion, this kind of emotional discipline it takes. Masonry is one of those vehicles. There are few in the world, and I say one because I can only think of maybe two or three that exist in parallel. Masonry is as unique as a snowflake or a grain of sand or a star. But there are other unique stars and grains of sand and snowflakes. That's all I'm saying. You have, and you have your own versions, huh? Here. Absolutely. Speaking of space, how could you do that? I know this is a pun, sorry. I know. I'll pay for this one. B.G. Adair on piano. She's fantastic. Just fantastic. So thank you very much for that. The reason to bring this up today on Masonic Effects is obvious. It's obvious to you. What I'm saying is when we're talking about the transferability of integrity and sincerity and authenticity, if you think about it, I think you'll realize that the embodiment of those virtues is you. And that's lofty, I think, to walk around with this. And that's why I think why we're taught, too, of the importance of humility. How do we do that? Is that like, you know, helping somebody out without waiting to be asked? Is, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not going to sit here and begin to tell you, you know, that there is a way to, you know, there's a book on it. Here's a list. Follow these simple rules and you'll live a good life. No, it's a way of thinking and applying yourself and giving yourself, creating this opportunity. That echoes the purpose of masonry, the opportunity that it gives each and every one of us to do something to improve ourselves and better ourselves, and to accept that as a struggle each and every day. Now, to get into the minds of different social strata, this order began in the minds of intelligent people. And it continues to offer a great deal more. I'm unembarrassed saying that a person is better off when they're educated because of education, what that gives them. I'm not going to apologize for that. And certainly any order that seeks enlightenment would be the place where that can be declared loud and clear. It's been a joy and a pleasure. The next time I see you, it'll be on the 20th of August, won't it? You know, autumnal equinox is on the 22nd. The beauty is, you know, we have all of this noise around us, and the silence of the grave is permanent. But in the meantime, you know, in the meantime, there's some interesting things that we can do and provide and offer to ourselves and the world around us. Thanks for tuning in and for the worldwide support for Masonic Effects. Oh my. I'll talk to you again real soon. Commit those acts of random Masonic kindness and see what happens to yourself. The greatest benefit of all, doing for others. Eh?
Noise,
I know. Check it out. That. Thank you.
Thank you.